There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hold is down. Kick is long enough, and it is good. At the gun, Kaimi Fairbairn wins it for the Houston Texans.
That's on me. The end of game situation on offense. We're in a tough situation. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains, and that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
It's Mike Shope.
I probably should have run it on the first play and just said, hey, where are we now? Either way, we're probably going to have to move the chains one time, right, to not give them a chance. But again, those are situations, and that's on me.
And the Bulldog.
Coach is going to trust us to go out there and do that. Obviously, we'd love to convert there, and hindsight's 20/20, but yeah.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Woohoo! Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Your first place, Bills. The best point differential in the AFC. Through most of 5 weeks. So there, bam. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. Well, what's next? Get started at northwest.com. I disagree with Sean McDermott. Let's just get
into it. What I got is that I'm anticipating being swallowed whole by arguing about passing versus running with 32 seconds to go at your own 3-yard line. And look, that's a valid argument. I said all day yesterday, like I didn't mind them trying to throw to move the chains there, all three timeouts, you know. But I respect the debate. I mean, it is certainly more traditional. I think. I mean, the avalanche of people all agreeing. I mean, there's a lot of that. That you run and just do the best you can, and you've got to kick it out of there. And they've stopped the clock three times. At least they don't have a timeout. Okay. I didn't mind trying to throw it, but I don't want that arguing about that, the disagreement about that, which again, I respect, to swallow whole the overall here, which is that their offense is a mess right now.
Well, you could and probably should connect those two things. I think I'm not interested in making it, but part of the argument for running out the clock or trying to at the end of the fourth quarter is that you were 9 for 27 throwing heretofore, right. You know? But I think I am mostly the same. I think the right overall attitude about it is to try to be consistent. And if you want to vary from that, because it was 9 for 27 and you don't have Diggs anymore and the passing offense looks so bad, fine. That's probably fair enough to do.
Yep.
But for me, for other times, you mentioned the Eagles game yesterday, and your very harsh criticism of McDermott after that game was founded on, why are we turtling? You've got the best player in the league, you know, in a high-scoring game. Why are we, you know, playing to tie or not to lose? Yep. And so how do you sort of line that up with yesterday?
Right. That's the thing. I mean, I you know, our names are on this. You know, like I can't just call in and, you know, run a bombing attack on him and his credibility and not have my name on it. So, yeah, that's I feel, I mean, maybe to an extent, I almost feel trapped by that, but I want to be consistent. I don't want to be one of these guys on the radio, you know, we're never going to be famous enough, I don't think, for it to happen, where they show you a clip from September, and you're criticizing a guy for doing one thing, and then it's December, and there's a clip of me criticizing the guy for doing the opposite. I can't live that way. I try to be honest about this, so go for it. The question, I think, and this might only fuel the conversation, but I was thinking this way last night after, you know, we get done with our gig and sort of sitting with the 4 o'clock games that, and then eventually the
9:45
the
game,
3 hour pregame show for the night game. And I'm thinking, did we know? Nate Geary was the first one. He's on right after us. And I saw him tweeting as we were wrapping up, about what route concepts they used there. Like, what were they trying to accomplish? And I think it might be, like, an alarm went off for me about your criticism of the end of the Chiefs playoff game. The last Bills possession in that game where Allen tried on second down to hit Shakir in the end zone when Diggs was open probably for a first down, keep the clock moving, finish the game with the ball, at worst kick a short field goal to tie it, maybe you can win it and leave them nothing.
Right.
To do to you. And not exactly the same situation last night, but Allen made choices on that drive that made me wonder, did someone tell him beforehand, like, what we want to do here? Here's our objective. We should be trying to run clock. Sure, if there's a touchdown there, you know, don't turn your back on it, which is what I said at the time, but really, what we're trying to do is just kind of keep the chains moving.
Well, this would imply that there's somebody over there that is allowed to tell him things.
Yeah, like, well, the offensive coordinator, I think, should be allowed to tell him things. Like, hey, dude, here's what we need to do. I'm going to call pass plays, but really, we're not so much, like, you know, look, if something's there, great. We get off to a good start on this drive with a 20-yard play or something, then maybe we're in business, even with no timeouts. But it's very possible to me their objective was to just keep the chains moving, not so much go on a game-winning drive. Just get a first down. You get one first down there, then you're running, and they can call their timeouts, and there's going to be almost no time left.
Overtime at worst.
Right.
With one first down.
So what was Allen told, if anything, about what to do, what the goal was there? Because throwing prayers to Mac Hollins doesn't seem like a great plan if really the objective is to pick up 10 yards. You know, there were guys available on the second down play. I've not watched every play of that sequence over again, but there were guys available for short gains that would have forced them to use a timeout and could have set you up for a 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 3, and maybe you throw it again and you can get that. Dial up one of your ready-made easy button plays and just keep, you know, you're not going to, again, you're not winning the game there.
Or he can run. Does he still
sure,
do that?
Right.
I mean,
right. So I'm wondering about that more than the decision-making as far as run versus pass. What kind of pass? What were we trying to accomplish there? I think one of these highlights I saw this morning, Sneaky Joe commented on it. McDermott looks to be saying, as he's walking away after an incompletion, we should be trying to get a first down.
That was after the long pass.
Okay. So
it's exactly right.
I'm wondering more about that. And that sort of brings Allen into the criticism more than the coach and the decisions made by the coach. And, you know, that usually makes a lot of fans uncomfortable because it's easier to just kick the crap out of the coach than the guy whose jersey you wear. And they're never going to tell us. They didn't after the Kansas City game, and I doubt they're going to shed light on it now. Like, oh, yeah, no, we told him to do this, and he ignored us. Like, no, they're never going to tell you that.
Well, I'm much the same way about this, and it would lead me to wanting to give McDermott more credit for avoiding that. You know, I was thinking about So I'm fascinated by that clip. He has multiple open receivers. It's really, you bailed Houston out because Houston isn't worried about you going 98 yards. Like, they're trying to get the game, maybe they'll get a sack out of this or a turnover and they'll get bailed out that way. But if Houston, like, if you negotiated with Houston, like, we just want to, you know, 10 yards and we'll kneel. Like, they'll take it, right? I mean, that's that's kind of where they're at after an intentional grounding penalty kind of stunningly takes them out of field goal range. They were probably thinking they were all set 45 seconds ago, and now maybe they're going to win anyway. So you bailed them out. With multiple options open underneath, Allen heaves it to of all, no offense, but to of all players, Mac Hollins. I mean, what a ending to the Diggs revenge game, right? Like, they even lose Collins, and still, you know, the Bills look completely overmatched at that position. So that happens, and you see McDermott. I don't know exactly what I think he said, but he's saying, if he's saying we should try to get the first down, to whom is he speaking?
Brady?
Probably Brady, or he's just saying it to the wind.
Or he's just right.
And I don't know, like, what is Brady thinking? Yeah, I agree.
Right? I would think.
Well, where does that leave you? I mean, that's tough for me. And then third down, maybe that's there, but the pass is way behind the receiver.
Yeah,
Samuel.
I think he got pressured there and, like, didn't get all on that throw. But, yeah, that was also open. You know, in the end, it was there.
I wonder about, I don't know, it's going to sound like I'm trying to start something big, but you know what you've never seen in your life during a Bills game? Allen and McDermott having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that once? And so if it's right, and I kind of think it is based on McDermott's reaction to second down, and, you know, I slipped in right as we started that I disagree with him from one of the clips that was just played, and that's the one where he says, we probably should have run it on first. No, you don't want to run it on first, because then you're doing the thing that we were hot about last time, which was you're giving up. You know, you could want that, but I think he didn't. They didn't do it. And I don't think in hindsight that was a mistake. You know, you missed the throw. There was a flag too. Like, it just didn't work. But I don't want him running on first down, because then it's timeout. And you probably have, if you don't get the first down that way in those three plays, Houston, I think, probably has more time left than they did.
I think so too.
I mean, it went from 32 seconds to 16.
That's the thing about the longer passes. And I mean, I'm really getting down the rabbit hole now, but, like, did they throw longer routes to take more time off the clock? Right? I mean, a quick short pass, complete or incomplete, assuming you get tackled right away, probably takes a couple less seconds than throwing it 20 yards down the field to Mac Hollins or Keon Coleman. So I don't know. Like, again, what was the objective? You know, I think when we started yesterday, I was thinking, like you just alluded to, the Philly game. This is my quarterback. I got time. Go. That is probably not realistic from your 3-yard line with 32 seconds and no timeouts left. You know, again, you get a flag on one of those, or the first play to Coleman, then maybe you have a look at it. But it's unlikely. So what was the objective? What were we trying to do? And what was the quarterback told, if anything, specifically about what the objective was? Because I think if he's told, hit something short, we just need a first down, and then we're going to run it out and let them call their timeouts, and if we punt with 10 seconds left, okay, fine. From the 20-yard line or something. But instead, he's chucking it up like he's trying to win the game there. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But I'm not sure if they were on the same page agenda-wise. Like, what were they trying to accomplish there?
Well, I think it might come down to, because it won't come down to the press conferences. I don't know what with these things, what's really to be believed. Allen gives you nothing. And McDermott, you know, definitely defends his guys, right? So, but when they're not sitting at a podium with reporters all over them, that's when you can maybe learn something. And it comes down to what you want to make of that clip of McDermott reacting to the second down play. You know, I don't know that we have it right, but it looked like that, you know, that maybe he was saying that he's walking away from the line of scrimmage to talk, you know, if that means anything. Just, I don't know. I would accept that's possible, that that's right. And then it's to your question, which, what is the communication here? And is Allen willing to listen to somebody, right? Because this is, people are connecting this loss, and go ahead, with other Bills losses. They lose all these incredible, how many seconds was it? Who's on the field? Like all these sort of games like this, the Bills seem to lose. And so what's the takeaway, the conclusion to that? You know, you make it a coaching one, and that can be right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a quarterback one. And to me, they lost the Chief. Allen was at fault at the end of the Chief game. He should want, they should know this. And I want to think coaches would. And you've also got data team. There are timeouts between these plays to make sure the quarterback knows the big picture in these situations. And he plays like he doesn't. You know, he plays like, I got to throw a touchdown right. I'm Josh Allen, MVP. Like mm-hmm. that's, and there are times when that's just not what you need. And I think yesterday's game goes into that bucket with the Chief game where there was a better idea. And if you watch that second down play, just like you watch the second down play against Kansas City, you see easy, open options. And he just didn't care.
Right.
And that's not McDermott's not caring or Joe Brady. That's Allen. I'm going to throw it 50 yards. Maybe we'll win. You're right. Maybe you will. He's yep. capable. He's not. He doesn't do great on the long ones, but you know we all know how good he is.
Right.
And so he's capable of completing that pass, and Hollins breaks it, and you go 97 yards on the last play or something to beat Houston. That's amazing. I don't know. I just think that there might be wires crossed, and too many times, no matter yeah. who's to blame, maybe it's more than one person, the Bills end up making the wrong move. And I don't say that in hindsight. I think that that's something that we can show and prove based on game situations and everything else. You can't know 100%. Maybe James Cook breaks one for 97 yards on a handoff or something. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe he fumbles.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you could have run it and gotten the first down that way. I mean, they did run it well all day. That's probably a part of the argument. And I even said, like, I support them throwing there, but I wasn't optimistic about it working because of 9 for 27 prior to that series, right? And that might be the strongest argument for why you don't handle it that way. But the thing is, it's one of these situations where the thing you did didn't work, and if they had run it and still kicked, and that dude makes a 63-yard field goal, which he certainly, I think, is capable of doing, we're mad because we didn't try to move the ball on that last possession, and we just gave it back to Houston. So, and look, it doesn't mean that people who are mad about the decision-making there would all be criticizing it the same way. It would sound the same to me because it's just people yelling about
right.
it, but it doesn't mean, like, if you were not with me when I was mad about the Philly game and him burning timeouts to ice the kicker and then turtling and not trying to go for it to try to win the game in regulation, if you were sitting there going, well, I think that was smart, I think that was prudent, then today's your day. You know, because you prefer that mode. You'd rather take your chance with the coin flip and play for overtime. And I get it. It's respectable at your own 3-yard line with no timeouts.
Yeah, the I don't know, illusion is that no matter what side we're on, the show always sounds the same.
Right.
Because the people calling in are calling in to be critical.
Yeah.
And no one knows who the people are. They might all be different, but they all sound the same as the other group, which feels the exact opposite way
right.
they called in the last time when the Bills were too conservative. And the show just sounds the same. You know, it's Dave, it's Pete, it's Tom, it's Bill. Like, it's just fans who are mad, and it ends up sounding exactly right. the same. So that's just how it has
it's
to
part
be.
Part of the business.
Yeah. Well, is this going to be the low point?
I think you better hope so.
Nine for 30 is incredible.
It really is. It really is. And that, like I said here at the outset, I mean, I said, I don't want to get swallowed whole, or I fear we're going to, debating the last, you know, three offensive plays they had, when the overall here, and I get, it's the day after the game, so like that's still fresh, the overall here is Mac Hollins. Like, WTF? Like, what are we doing here? That's the big picture. Like, that dude should not be starting on a bad team, I think, in the NFL. And I'm just befuddled. all along, Sal was always warning us all summer because I thought they brought him in to be Jake Kumerow.
I know.
Right? Like, so that means like a spot playing duty here or there. You're the fourth or fifth guy in, but you're a special teams demon and you're going to wreak havoc covering punts and kick. Okay, great. No. Like, he's just out there all the time.
He's Davis.
It's just remarkable to me.
And that's exactly what's happened.
They downgraded from Davis. I did not want them to sign Davis to a contract extension. I was pretty sure he was just a guy, and they downgraded. That's incredible.
The whole summer, we talked about wide receivers every day, and I had such a blind spot for him, too. Like, oh, yeah.
I didn't want to
Oh, yeah, should have been sponsored.
Every time Sal would say it, I'd be like, I don't know. I can't believe this, but here we are.
I don't think this changes. Because the identity of their offense, they have had good days and bad, I think is intentional. It's running. It's not leaning into Allen so hard. And, you know, pitching and defense, right? Like, I think that's how the Bills intend to try to win this year.
Moving runners along.
Yeah, they want to bunt them up. And I feel like that's kind of happened. You know, James Cook had a couple of nice games and people got excited about him. Okay, I mean, completely whatever to me. And since after Jacksonville, it's kind of been the case. Fine, good job. But Hollins is, and so is Knox. Like, they're both guys you would have on the field to play that way, and they're on the field, right? So there was never room for much else. Unless you got Shakir, who's been good, missed the game, that matters, is unstoppable, which I've never thought that's going to happen. Just not talented enough. He's fine. Coleman is a rookie, walks in the door, and, well, is Brian Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? He's not, I don't want to say neighbors, but Brian Thomas, so far, big time. And, you know, Samuel and Kincaid are the two for me. I mean, this is mostly what I thought it would look like. Hollins is going to play. Knox is going to play. What do I do with Kincaid then? They haven't been able to get anywhere that matters yet. Still, 20 games more. And Samuel is irrelevant. And that is a surprise to me. Like, at least, plus they're paying him. Like, at least he's going to be somebody with a medium role in the offense, and he doesn't even have that.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free.
all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, he missed... No, he didn't miss a game. He missed a preseason game. He has 9 catches in 5 games. Coleman has 9. Kincaid has 15. There's nothing good here.
No.
Everybody starves. Everybody nibbles. Everybody snacks. Snacks? Who knew snacking was that good? Eats, though.
No, there's not a meal available.
There's not a...
No.
There's not a lot on the table.
No.
So to speak. Football Monday. Let's get a call in. Here's Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was just thinking about this whole idea about in the past we want them to be aggressive and put the ball in Josh's hands. And today I'm looking back and saying where I wanted that in the past, where I wanted Josh to have the ball in his hands and let him throw it, I think yesterday dictated something different. As you guys have mentioned several times, he was 9 for 27. Our passing game wasn't working at all. He's standing in the end zone throwing the ball. If we would have gotten a holding call in the end zone, we would have lost by safety. I think it was absolutely asinine that we threw the ball out of the end zone 3 times under the circumstances. Normally, I would say throw it, but not there, not that game, not when Josh is throwing for 33%, his worst game as a professional. I think it was ridiculous that we threw the ball at all out of the end zone. Run the ball. Punt it, kill the clock, get to overtime.
Okay, but
we've been
talking about this for 20 minutes, and like 6 different times we've said okay to the argument, but your argument has to include something about the fact that Houston, assuming they don't get gashed on the ground in a spot where they never should, you know, be vulnerable to that, will call timeouts, and the Bills are in the same position. I mean, their chances of running for 10 yards versus completing one of those passes, if it's done competently for 10 yards, are really that much better? No. You don't want them to run for a first down. You think it's going to kill the clock, and it isn't.
But it would take away their timeouts at minimum.
So what?
They had none left. Then they wouldn't have been able to call the timeout as they did to get 5 yards closer at the end of that last drive.
That's right. That is the one thing. That is right, and that's fair. And you don't know how long the punt is going to be, or the punt return, or how long it's going to take, or whether Fairbairn needed those 5 yards. Chris Brown's like, it's good from 65. Well, let's see. That's 6 yards more than the line of scrimmage, or the kicking point. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Say all you want about how they were stupid to throw passes. Don't ignore, though, the likelihood that it doesn't matter to the clock. Ultimately.
Yeah, you're still kicking the ball back to them. They're still getting it around where they got it, probably. And maybe you get beat anyway. Like, it just, to me, again, there's merit to it, especially the 9 for 27 part. I feel you. I mean, I've said I don't mind throwing, but I wasn't optimistic because of how they looked all day. And that probably should go into the stew at some point that you're preparing, right? The decision-making, I think that should enter into it. But the running does not, it's not ironclad. So there's that.
I just, I don't trust Josh Allen. Is what Tom would want to call that. I don't trust Josh Allen. You want to put it into a time thing so it's like only yesterday? I just didn't trust him yesterday. Listen to that. Where are you going if you don't trust him? 803-0550. Thank you for the call, Tom. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Football Monday continues next. Eric Wood today. This is WGR.
Well, it starts with making better decisions on my part. I know didn't complete the ball at a high rate tonight. Put the ball in harm's way, especially early in that first half. But I trust our guys. I know you guys are going to be wild this week, but love my guys, and we're going to keep working. And, you know, this isn't a defining moment in our season. You know, it's a chance to learn and grow from this, and that's what we're going to do.
Josh Allen and the Bills lose their second straight. 3-2 at the 2-3 Jets 1 week from tonight. The Jets might have even had a worse day than the Bills. I don't know. Who had more of a day that's like, oh, we're screwed? The Jets, I think.
Sure.
Just not there.
No. But it's 2 weeks in a row. Rodgers really looked old after having... What was the there was the New England game? I don't know. There was a game where I was like, oh, man.
Patriots.
He's moving well. Like, he, wow, this is like fountain of youth time.
Yeah.
That didn't last. he looks compromised, I would say. Now there's an ankle injury and whatever else. I mean, he got up limping a few times yesterday.
They were down three pretty late, but did not at all look like a threat.
No.
Really, the Jets, which I have been thinking all year that they are.
Although their defense is still very good. They did a respectable job on an offense from Minnesota that has been moving the ball on just about everybody they play. And there wasn't a lot there for them. I mean, they got it. They got there, Minnesota, but it wasn't easy.
No, so, the Jets had a few penalties in the first half that in the secondary that hurt them. Or else it could have even been their game. And that's how I think they were supposed to win if they were going to win. With their defense and just enough from the offense, but yeah, no, not so much. So
three interceptions from Rodgers. Yeah,
that's just. I mean, he had years where he threw single digits.
Yep.
Allen has none. There's another one for you to buck up out there. No interceptions. Five games. John is next. Hello, John.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Okay, John. Thanks.
Hey, I got a question for you, and it's about Brandon Bean. He said he was going to put together a good team. You get these receivers that can't separate. He's ruined his cap. We have no money to do nothing, and you got a great quarterback and still nothing done. Do you expect anything at the trade deadline? And that's my question.
It's possible.
I'll hang up.
Sure, okay. It's possible.
Yeah, I don't predict they are in the running for Devontae Adams, but they could be in the running for some other receiver. Amari Cooper's name has come up a lot. He's tied for the league lead in drops, by the way, so far this year. But still, he's a name I think to watch. The contract is very friendly, and you know, who knows? There could be 10 other guys that we're not thinking about right now that, you know, we still have a month here to go.
I'll just say quickly, this was a big topic last week. After the Baltimore loss. And before that, everybody thought this was the greatest team they'd ever seen, right? So 3-0, everything's perfect. Baltimore last week, And now this. Last week, my take was, I don't know if you can make the money work, but it's probably an upgrade to make a trade like that, to spend a draft pick on a good wide receiver. It's just, doesn't it contradict the team they built, right? Everybody's sort of in love. Allen makes the comment about we don't care about our stats. And suddenly you trade for somebody who probably you would think does care about his stats. Like, would the Bills do that? I said no. I don't know, though, that this game doesn't escalate the amount of urgency in the situation to a degree
right.
That, okay, well, we tried, but... This isn't working.
Yeah, because the thing that doesn't feel exactly right about criticizing Allen for choices made at the end is really what he was working with all game. And yes, he missed throws. He missed Kincaid. He could have thrown a better ball to Hollins early. He missed Kincaid late in the first half down the seam. Like, that was there. He had separation. For all the talk about nobody can separate, there, you know, again, it requires a perfect throw. You know, like the one that Stroud made to Nico Collins for a 67-yard touchdown. He was more wide open, but that ball was dropped in the bucket 60 yards downfield or 50 or whatever it was. Just perfect throw. So Allen is compromised by you pick any number of these incompletions from yesterday, and there's drops or just incompetence. Like, nobody open, you know, and I'm rolling. Here's the sideline. Throw it, because nobody is presenting themselves as open. And that's tough. I mean, it's hard to pin everything on Allen, and I'm definitely not trying to do that, but, you know, I'm raising, I think, a fair question about what the objective was at the end of the game there. Did he have the same plan as the play caller and the head coach?
We'll see eventually what Shakir's status is. He didn't practice all week, ruled out Friday morning. Big loss yesterday. And by the way, Houston's coach just said week to week on Collins. Didn't look like much, but he said hamstrings take a couple weeks, so week to week. Big loss for them. They're at New England next. Pete is next with us. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I know it probably doesn't, you know, make for a great show for you, but I'm not real interested in arguing whether or not they should have run the ball or thrown the ball or any of that. I think we're looking at a team that, as constructed right now, is the Dolphins from last year. They're going to play and beat tomato cans all year long, and maybe they're going to make the playoffs beating tomato cans, but the second you put them on the field with a competent NFL team, they look like they've looked the last 2 weeks.
Well, if we're, I would too, calling Houston good or competent. 23-20, I don't know. We'll see. Thanks, Pete. Michael is next. Hi, Michael. Michael is not there or just decided to not talk. Hmm. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard, Mark. So, what took you so long? Where you been?
I listen every day. Never had the nerve to call. But
thank you.
You know, I got a couple of analogies on this team, and one of them is we got this Ferrari sitting in the garage, and on Sunday afternoon when it's sunny, we take out the Volkswagen to drive. We've never given Josh Allen any tools, and all the years we're just wasting them. And besides that, this all-you-can-eat attitude, you know, everybody eats. Well, that's all fine and good, but before I eat, somebody sets the table, and nobody's setting the table here. And that's my take on it.
There it is. Thank you, Mark. They've never had weapons. I mean,
we...
Right now, that's the A problem. True. Absolutely. But it's never... I mean, Diggs wasn't great.
What did we want? We wanted another piece to go with him. We needed his Higgins to Cincinnati's Chase. And we never really got there. That was Davis. And somehow, divesting themselves of Gabriel Davis, they found a way to get what I think is plainly a worse player that is now on the field all the time because he blocks really well, which is very tough. And, of course, Diggs is gone.
You know, it's just always... Which is what makes it interesting. It's always a number of factors. Like Samuel makes sense. He's somebody, I don't know if he's just done. I'm not sure I'm seeing that. But he's pretty useless in their offense. And that's the coach's job, is to get your best players the ball and in important roles. This has always been the challenge with Kincaid. And it is also, I think, a challenge with Samuel, who I don't think is amazing, but they didn't sign him to catch 1.6 passes a week, you know, for no yardage. Come on. Like, is he healthy? If he's not healthy, he should be on the injury report. It hasn't been for one day. I don't know. There's how good are your players, and then how good of a job does your staff do with your quarterback, you know, as the captain of it, getting them the ball. And 2 weeks ago, not even... 2 weeks ago, it looked like perfection. And you're hearing everything. You're hearing MVP. You're hearing Brady, you know, is going to be a head coach. Hearing everything. 2 games later, it sounds more like the opposite of that. And it's not that unusual in the NFL for there to be these kinds of swings. I think probably, I always have, Kincaid, Samuel are players that have to mean something more than they've almost ever meant, certainly in Samuel's case, he's only here this year, for this team to really win. Because you're just not going to win running James Cook for 4 yards. I mean, it's just the Ferrari, right? It's gotta come down to that. There's still time for that to work this year. You know, furthermore, this season for me always was get in the playoffs. All summer. How does it feel? How do they look? Get in the playoffs. Jets are maybe better. Dolphins are Dolphins. You know, it's tougher schedule. Get in. There's still pretty good odds to do that. And then it'll be, what do they do on those days? You know, if hopefully it's plural, if they make it. Like, I think it's mostly still okay. It's not like they're all set. But you're never – Kansas City's going to play tonight. And I know they have the rings, and that counts for something. But they haven't looked that good. We'll see what tonight is. If they win, they'll be 5-0. Maybe they'll win 16-10 again or something and not look great, but be on well on their way to the playoffs. I don't know. Is that just sort of stopping short? I know they have problems. 9-for-30 is outrageous. And defensively, I don't know, injuries are more the story. They didn't get destroyed this game.
They give up 14 points in the first quarter and then 3 field goals the rest of the game. Like, the Texans, yes, they extended drives. They went 8 for 16 on third downs, which is not at all where you want to be. But on the scoreboard, I mean, the turnovers really helped. I mean, they turned it over deep in Buffalo territory on the great play by Bernard. And then you got the strip sack to give you the ball at the 15-yard line down 3. Like, what is your win probability at that point with 4 minutes to go?
It's going
to
be north of 50%.
It's got to be pretty good. And what? That play, the third down play on that drive, nobody open. There is just nobody open. There might be 5 guys in the pattern, and there's nobody open. At least 4. There's nothing there. I mean, that is brutal.
Yeah, it goes down as incomplete for Samuel. I can't picture it, but you've got it.
The video I saw of it earlier today, he's looking left. There's nobody open. He ends up rolling right and then just throws like a prayer to Sam. It's like he chucked it. They were at the 15-yard line. But a pass that just wasn't going to get anything done.
Out of bounds?
I'm sure if it went out of bounds or not.
All right. If only there were some way to find out.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Eric Wood coming up at 4, Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Monday. Eric Wood coming up in about 12 minutes. We'll be looking for your calls all afternoon, 803-0550. Certainly a lot to talk about from yesterday's loss to the Texans. Next Monday night, Week 6, Bills at Jets. That's next. Justin is next for us. Hi, Justin.
Hey, I'm calling to talk about the first-round draft picks from the last 2 years. And you could argue that they're both been pretty successful statistically, especially Kincaid. But, I get the feeling that they're not stretching defenses or, like, putting pressure on defenses. Like, when I watch certain teams with a superstar athlete, I'm terrified of Tyreek Hill and Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. And I feel like in the first round, you want to get those great athletes. And instead, we have really nice pieces. But I don't know if you want nice pieces in the first round, maybe third round and fourth round. But I was just waiting for, Kincaid to emerge as like a demon on third down, like as this body that no one knows how to handle. And it's just not that. He'll probably have great stats this year. He'll probably look efficient. But I just don't think he's putting pressure on teams. And, he might be a liability blocking. I'm just a little nervous about our first round picks.
Okay.
He got blown up a couple of times on screen passes yesterday, Kincaid. I mean, just knocked right off his cleats trying to block linebackers. So, I mean, that's no easy task, but, that's part of the job. And they're asking him to do something he's clearly not good at.
Which was also predictable.
Right.
Like, that was the kind of the profile. Just want to say, it's a good take, Justin. Late first round, and Coleman is technically second. Not even technically, he is. But, I get the point. You're not expecting – the standard can't be, absolute home run with those picks. But it happens. And, again, I think I want to come back to usage. I still want to believe that Kincaid can be the player that was described after they drafted him. But Knox is in the way. It's been true the whole time. It's still true. They want to run the ball. Knox is going to be on the field, to your point. About the style of player Kincaid is. Shakir is in the way if you want to get him down the field. Like Coleman even. So it has never really made sense. 6 slot receivers, right? How many times did I say it? It's never really made sense. I think Kincaid, and maybe Coleman still too. I don't want to judge him too much 5 games into his career. 9 catches. It can take time. I wouldn't give up.
Yeah.
But are they Tyreek Hill?
My God, no.
I mean,
right. No, the only guy you could have drafted this year that you had a chance to draft, you traded with Kansas City to let them draft him. There's your speed. There's your like elite trait, at least. You know, Coleman's got his own elite trait. It's, you know, size and hands and contested catches. I don't know. You can tell me which one's more valuable in the NFL. Elite high-end speed, fastest guy in the league caliber, or somebody who's going to go 40% on jump balls?
Thomas for Jacksonville, though, again, looks excellent. And that would have required a trade up. You know, there's a lot of assumptions you have to make.
Yep.
And I would not have supported that. That wouldn't matter. My opinion wouldn't matter. But of the guys picked after him, you know, Worthy's had a couple of plays. Coleman's had a couple of plays.
Mm-hmm.
Leggett was in a great spot yesterday for Carolina, got hurt. Pearsall hasn't played yet. And then we're to, like, Polk, McConkey, you know, these guys in round two. Is there somebody obvious I'm forgetting here? There are a lot of guys. Mitchell.
Right. I think that's pretty much it. Hang on. Let me turn over the... No, I'm not going to reach over.
The board. Is that it?
The board is still there. Yeah.
It's been sitting facing the wall this whole time. I never think about if that's the wide receiver train board or whatever it was called.
Sorry, upside down.
A lot of the names have been removed.
It looks like it's in pretty tough shape.
Troy Franklin. I think he had a catch. I think he had a catch.
He had a massive drop in the end zone.
Oh, never mind.
Is what he had yesterday. He might have had a catch too, but he had a bomb that went through his hands in the end zone. I mean, they won comfortably anyway, but.
Baker's doing nothing. Devontae Walker's doing nothing. Inactive. Roman Wilson hurt. Nothing. All right. It will remain fluid. Every week, new evaluations coming. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with Eric Wood next. This is WGR.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.